Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Who the hell are you?
Who we are is unimportant. Do you command the ship?
I'm the captain. What have you done to my crew?
They're sleeping. They won't be harmed as long as you cooperate.
What do you want?
Where is the location of your vault?
The vault?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Maybe the translator's malfunctioning.
He understands.
This is a vessel of exploration, not a cargo ship. We don't do any commerce. Whatever it is you're after, you won't find it here.
You carry no valuables of any kind. No precious gems, no latinum.
I just told you.
Liar!
Whoever you are, just take what you want and get off my ship.
All right. Anyway, are you interested in starting this podcast?
I was born interested.
Okay. Oh, yeah. You know what that means? I should start the timer on the old timer. Oh, look at that. Timer's going.
Timmer. First try.
Start the timer.
So we can officially begin the podcast. Well, of course, now you're fucking coughing all over the place.
No coughing on the podcast.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. That was...
No, it's all right.
It couldn't
it's
be helped.
Just, we already started the timer. We can't reset it. And but you know,
I'll try not to sneeze a little.
The podcast magazine
it's
says
to be spring,
no yeah. coughing.
I know.
No dilly dallying and no coughing.
Yeah.
Right at the beginning of the list of things not to
Wait,
do.
Wait, where does it say no dilly though?
It's in the podcaster's playbook.
Since when is that?
Podcaster's Monthly. No dilly. They have a monthly section in Podcasters Monthly. They have every issue. They have the no dilly dallying section. Tips on how not to dilly dally. How to start your podcast with alacrity, with efficiency.
None of us wrote any articles for that one.
With verve and purpose. Well, we have, but they've rejected them repeatedly. Okay, the podcast that we're starting today. What do we go? We are the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Hello. Opportunities like this don't come along every day.
Indeed they don't. So,
Captain Marcher,
welcome to the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
How do you like it so far?
I mean, I'm quite fond of it because this is episode 281.
Oh, no. Damn.
Yes, 281.
Where are my scanners?
I mean, I think it's episode 281.
I think it is, too.
Now I'm freaked out that I got that number wrong. No, 281.
One can never have too much.
You can make numbers do whatever.
Yeah, last week, we deferred this episode to this week. Last week, Jesse and I did a clip show, which was kind of fun.
Apparently, I was crinkling and crackling all over the place.
Jesse and I listened to highlight clips from old episodes of It's Got Star Trek.
All right.
Which actually turned out to be pretty fun. Did you happen to listen to it, Dan?
I listened to some of it, yeah.
All right. So
And I had to guess which one.
Yeah. But hundreds of them.
I would also roll some dice to randomly select the episode. That was kind of fun, too.
It was fun. Folks should check it out if you haven't had a chance to check it out yet. Of course, we missed Dan. We missed his sound effects. Mm-hmm. Jesse and I did our best.
Yeah, there were some dice sound effects.
To fill in.
We said Chief O'Brien.
We did say Chief O'Brien and B'Elanna's on it quite a lot.
Yeah, B'Elanna.
Chief O'Brien.
B'Elanna's on it.
Evidence.
Now we got the real stuff. Oh, yeah. I thought I did a pretty good evidence.
We did
evidence!
A few,
it was pretty good.
This human's full of words.
Yes, this man.
Oh, this human is full of words.
So definitely, all the folks listening to this, go check out that episode. It's fun.
You'll like it.
This is pretty good.
Now, a couple of notes about that episode. The first note is, when I got to editing that episode, I loaded up the file and I was like, I don't know, something looks fucking weird. What's going on here? I was like, what's wrong with the waveform?
Uh-oh.
Do you have any guesses, Dan or Jesse? Do you have any guesses? What about the waveform threw me off when I tried to edit it?
Was it not normalized?
No, I mean, I always have to, you know, do the normalization and all that.
Oh, was it at a slightly lower level?
All right, so Dan's got
to
hear
a little bit.
Was the waveform in a slightly lower? It was so fucking small compared to how it used. Like normally, it's like all peaked out, and that's a combination of Dan's exuberance and the sound effects.
So normally
it's a thick waveform across, and it was just all like Jesse and I just having calm golf talk.
So it's like a little less punchy, probably too. A little less accented, punctuated.
Yeah. So that was the first note about that. The second note that to make the last week's episode a little bit more fun, Jesse and I drank a lot of podcasting juice. And, you know, which was...
It's a trap!
We just kind of goofing around, having a little fun.
And, hey!
It was St. Patrick's Day.
Well, the thing is yes, it was St. Patrick's Day, but we never mentioned that it was St. Patrick's Day. We did mention that we got the idea. Oh. We got the idea... To drink during the podcast off of the last time Jesse and I did a solo podcast where, you know, Jesse and Patrick exclusive podcast where we discussed Fairhaven and Spirit Folk from Voyager while drinking Irish whiskey.
Was that for St. Patrick's Day or was that just
Was for St. Patrick's. I think we did it for St. Patrick's.
It seems like it was around that time.
But anyway, I apologize that we never said anything. I mean, we referenced St. Patrick's Day, but that was an episode that came out on St. Patrick's Day. So retroactively, that's the excuse for Jesse and I consuming some alcohol during.
You'll regret this, Ulysses.
So there we go.
It was a fun time.
It was. Okay, so we can get started here. Episode 281. This week we are discussing the Star Trek Enterprise first season episode entitled... Acquisition.
In Galahabi. In Galadukabi. Dukabi na Kustra.
Are you going to have a new game, Dan, called like Dukabi or Nukabi?
Dukabi.
She not lying. Eunice kind of war. Muke lat. Eunice.
All right.
Muke lat. Eunice. Muke lat. Eunice.
Oh no.
Dukabi na Kustra. Dukabina 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 Kustra.
Excellent. See, Dan's, we know Dan's back because he's reinstituted the policy of going precisely one or two measures too long.
To you, not to me. To me, I go one or two measures too short.
Exactly right.
Too many notes.
Kuchitai, Krajan Voy.
So you bring up a good point here, Dan, purposefully or otherwise, that the first 11 or 12 minutes of this episode are essentially a silent film
I like
performance.
That. I was really
charmed by it.
It's awesome. I like that they don't translate their language when they're speaking
initially,
at first. And then this is the one where they actually, where you see it change.
Bach McGoran Duke what I'm saying.
Or hear it change, rather. He goes... Bach McGoran Duke what I'm saying.
Did they just start working their universal
Bach McGoran Duke what I'm saying?
I think the ship's universal translator or theirs, one or the other had to figure it out.
I think I saw the Ferengi fucking with some knobs or something.
So it was theirs.
I think they had to tweak it or something. Yeah.
Bach McGoran Duke what I'm saying.
Generally speaking,
Duke what I'm saying.
It figures it out after a little bit. It works better if Hoshi's involved because she knows what she's.
I also like there's no exposition at the beginning. Like we don't figure out like what happens until like 20 minutes in. We don't. Find out that the method of attack.
We don't figure exactly how it happened.
Well,
assume it.
Well, what happened is we learn that they came. We learn also 20 minutes in. We learn that they came back from a lunar survey.
Right.
Instead of a lot of Star Trek episodes, which would be like after having just come back from a lunar survey.
Right. There's a captain.
Is that Captain Picard? No, it was nobody. Anybody. After having come back from a lunar survey. Like that? Is that how he talks?
Are you saying that's Captain Picard now?
Okay, after having come back from a lunar survey.
Now it sounds like you're starting to joke.
Oh, man.
It's like you're doing
after having come back from a lunar survey.
On the way to work one day.
Try that setup with a little bit more pep, a bit more verve.
Nandine.
So they don't like talk about at the beginning like how they do that. So we find out they come back from the survey. They brought back an artifact, and when they opened it, that's what like it let
vapors.
Out. It let like T'Pol like let out some gas and knocked them all out.
Is that a purposeful poop joke you just made?
I did not.
Now Jesse's coughing. When will it be Patrick's turn to cough? We'll find out.
Because she just eats vegetables.
So. Yeah, well, she probably, yeah, she's a lot of
was
broccoli.
Was that a purposeful poop joke you just made?
Was that a poop joke?
It sounded, say it again.
Yeah, I know.
She talks about how the humans.
I don't know if it was purposeful. It
sounded like it was purposeful. I think you phrased it as she released gas.
I think originally it wasn't purposeful, but then it became
retroactively purposeful.
Yeah.
On purpose.
Which may have accentuated its purposefulness.
Accentuated its
purposefulness. Anyways, so the gas knocked him out. We don't know what the fuck's
but
going
on. But why did they just pick up some shit and bring it onto the ship?
No, I know. And like that's also kind of why it's awesome. Like,
this looks really cool. This is from the
Trojan horse.
The lunar service. Yeah.
That's what I also like about it is it's so much doesn't matter. You know, and
right.
I know I've complained.
No, you're right.
And I know I've complained before in the past how sometimes they don't like tell you enough of what's going on. It's like, why are they doing this? In this episode, it just kind of worked because it was all just about like the sort of like I like that they opened where we don't know what the fuck's going on for. You know,
the ship
for
is just like all drifting,
and it's all about it's all about their.
You know, when the ship is askew, yeah. You know it's shady.
And totally. And you know they and so it's just about shady that little adventure ships. That goes on. And I don't know. I kind of dig it that like it's just completely. I kind of want to know what they were doing too, but like it
right.
They it's like they did that on purpose. It wasn't they
it's
didn't
just one of those things to
it
think
wasn't
in your head.
Like they didn't write cover their bases properly in the writing. It was the totally. Opposite. It seemed like they very much did that on purpose.
Yeah, they started N media res.
Right.
N media res.
It's a classic sci-fi.
Isn't this the weirdest thing they say? Look, that's weird.
Lorama rara.
A little weird.
So how about this since we're still basically at the beginning,
basically
it behooves us to describe the star-studded guest cast.
Yeah,
I already have.
So we've got Jeffrey Combs as Krem. And of course Jeffrey Combs also on Enterprise as Shran, and
he's playing a very different Ferengi.
But he's played a million other roles on Star Trek, one of the most prolific of the Star Trek actors.
Right, way
So with Jeffrey Combs, I like how he plays the role of the chumpy dude in this one. He doesn't usually do that. But just for some comparison between Krem, here's Krem.
Krem.
I don't have the lobes for business.
Here's Weyoun, also Jeffrey Combs.
Oh, how delightful.
And then there's...
You have Brunt?
My cousin knows what's best for me.
Oh, my. That is quite toxic, isn't it?
Makes me sneeze.
Oh, it's all the same person.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
You got that one from Lower Decks?
Yeah, he plays the computer. The Thanks Agamist, you know, he's Agamist. Do you have any Agamist clips?
Thanks Agamist!
Yeah, well, okay. that's Boimler thanking Agamist. Yeah. Do you have any clips of Agamist?
I'm sure I must have some.
All right, Agamist. You look up Agamist and I'll keep talking about Jeffrey Combs because he's played a Ferengi before.
Do you see the blue light?
There you go.
Does co-conspirating mean nothing anymore? I don't know, Tyrannicilicus.
He also played Brunt, another Ferengi, but an aggressive Ferengi, right? So he's showing his range and he's playing two different Ferengi, and one is all feeble and lame like Krem, and then one is much more sneaky.
He is not the Krem de la Krem.
No.
You said
of Ferengis.
He is not.
You said it right here.
All right.
I said it right here. Any other Jeffrey Combs stuff before we move along home to the next the next character?
Clint Howard.
Yes, I wanted to get to Clint Howard.
Well, okay. Well,
but we had to give Dan an opportunity. I don't want to stress him out. He's got the opportunity. If there's any other, we can keep talking about Jeffrey Combs later.
Well, I wanted to talk about
we
could stay on the Star Trek theme and go with Ethan Phillips.
Yeah, but Clint Howard is also in the Star Trek theme because he's been in Star Trek since TOS.
He
was drinking Kranya.
Kranya.
Yeah, you got that.
Was it Tranya?
He was trying to Kranya. What the fuck is
I don't
wrong
know
with me? I'm sorry, I'm an asshole. Tranya.
This is Tranya.
Tranya.
Of course, that's not him saying it. But he
is
also,
that not him?
It's not his voice.
No, because he's a child. He was like 6 years old. They dubbed him over. You know.
Oh, right. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But he played he's been on Star Trek a bunch. He was on Strange New Worlds as that chief medic guy.
I was just gonna go to whatever we can talk.
Wasn't
about
he some kind of like drug dealer guy
on Deep Space Nine? He was in the past tense, which Dan's podcast topic selection algorithm always suggests we do past tense. And we've already done it. Clint Howard is on that. He played an Orion. Was that in a Short Trek or in Discovery? So he's made the rounds.
And so here he is in this episode as Mook.
Where's the other one? There were three. Yeah.
And then here's him.
Yeah, a really nasty
in
voice.
His starring role in a movie. See if you can guess this movie.
Apollo 13.
Here you go, detective. Just for you.
That's him.
Hey, now that's an ice cream cone.
It's like that Ice Cream Man killer movie.
It's classified, obviously. Classified.
Is that Dr. Giggles?
You're talking over the sounds.
You're damn right I am.
Well, you're supposed to wait till it plays and then you guess.
I'll let you tell me what I'm supposed to do.
The arrogance of a guy named Jesse.
I would request.
Dr. Giggles?
No, that Jesse was right. It's Ice Cream Man.
Oh, Ice Cream Man. Of course. Yeah. Well, of course. Yeah.
Where's the other one? There were three.
So just play the beginning part.
Here you go, detective. Just for you.
He was in Austin Powers as well.
Yeah.
He did a lot of stuff, man.
Arrested Development.
Oh, yeah. He's great in Arrested Development.
He did great. I thought they all did great at being Ferengis.
Oh, absolutely.
And did you notice the Ferengis didn't look nearly as slithery in this one as they did in their appearance in TNG? Like, their very first appearance in Star Trek.
Right. In Star Trek,
they're all like snaky, slithery lizard guys.
And only that one guy had the whip.
Like, they were not that they looked like lizards, but the way they moved was all like, but in this one, they actually kind of sort of almost looked like adept soldiers in a way, like as far as a Ferengi.
Well, that's what Deep Space Nine largely did with Quark and Beyond.
Quark
was to flesh out, modernize, update, and defreakify the Ferengi.
Freakazoid.
Make them more interesting, more nuanced.
Is Freakazoid like a major insult in New Zealand or something?
Why New Zealand in particular?
I just thought I heard that it was. Is it Australia as well?
Australia? I don't know. Well, as you know, we have many fans in Australia.
Freakazoid?
Is Freakazoid a common insult? I thought it was in New Zealand that they mostly said that.
Well, I see what you're saying.
Put it out to any of our listeners in Australia, New Zealand, Oceania, anywhere else.
If you call someone a Freakazoid, is it like big shit? Are they like, oh man?
I don't know.
Indonesia.
I know that in England, you're not supposed to use the term spaz, and I apologize to the English. In America, spaz does not have quite the negative connotation.
Spastic.
It's interesting how that stuff evolves. Anyway, what were you talking about, Ferengi?
Yeah, I don't know why you started like
he's talking about
throwing out English slurs and shit.
Well, no, because you were saying freakazoid, and I thought you're right. Initially, I thought where you're going was if you call somebody a freakazoid, do you get punched in the face or something? Because it's like considered a huge insult.
Yeah,
but maybe not. I don't know.
Yeah,
write us in
at
feedback@itsgotstartrek.com and let us know if freakazoid in your neck of the woods. It doesn't have to be New Zealand. Wherever you are in the world, let us know. What would happen if somebody came up to you in the street and called you a freakazoid?
You'll regret this, Ulysses.
And how old are you?
All right, so continuing down the cast list.
Jesse brought up the electro whips. Like, have they had the electro whips in anything other than the TAS?
It was TOS?
TNG.
Ferengi weapon for TNG.
When they
introduced the Ferengi. That was their weapon.
Ferengi
neuro whip.
Yeah, the very first TNG episode. I
was thinking cartoon because it was in Lower Decks.
They did have the whips in Lower Decks. Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. All right, now back to the cast list, and then we'll get to discuss all this other wonderful
stuff.
There's this star-studded cast: Jeffrey Combs, Clint Howard, and then of course Dan, you already referenced Ethan Phillips as Ulysses, the Daimon.
At least he's not Neelix.
And we love Ethan Phillips. We even kind of like Neelix, but Neelix is a space creep and a weird character. Gets a little bit better.
So here's, speaking of Neelix,
but he gets to be evil in this one.
But this guy's a space creep.
Here's some comparisons between Ulysses and Neelix.
Start loading the merchandise.
That was Ulysses.
Oh, how wonderfully tart.
Neelix. And then there's
that line from Neelix.
What about
Oh, how wonderfully tart.
And then here's Ulysses.
You should be more careful with your acquisitions.
Here's Neelix.
Wow.
I don't know why that was all quiet.
Wow.
And then there's Ulysses.
Are you calling me a thief?
And then Neelix.
Talchak Musk.
Talchak Musk.
Yeah. Man, wow! Neelix, I don't know why that one's all soft and weird.
Neelix was always getting into some crazy stuff. Remember when we did the Killing Game and Neelix was like a Klingon for a little while in that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That was awesome.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome. Yeah.
No, Ethan Phillips is fantastic. You know, we like to rib on Neelix, but he's a great actor and he does a great job here. And I agree with you, Dan, like the others, fantastic Ferengi. And part of what makes this episode work for me, and by the way, we'll get to the general opinion of this episode in the greater Star Trek world in a moment. But I thought that
that's not good enough.
Part of what makes this episode work nicely is the nuance, the clear differences between these characters, right? They are playing different characters with different purposes in the story and in their little unit, and it's all believable. Everything that happens in this otherwise kind of silly episode is believable from what little we know of these characters, and the actors are really good at getting that characterization across swiftly so that we can enjoy the story even without using English.
You know
even speaking Ferengi gobbledygook. So that Ethan Phillips does a very good job being the kind of sleazy commander, and then we cannot forget, we talked about all these Star Trek luminaries, we cannot forget Matt Malloy who is Grish. I'm teasing a little because he didn't do any other Star Trek stuff. I think he did a video game.
Right. So here's him.
It must use some sort of magnetic seal. I'll need microchargers to blow it open.
I love his delivery in this.
He's my favorite. He's my favorite of all of them. The way he dresses, there's a little bit like a dandy. He's like a Ferengi dandy a bit. Whereas Clint Howard's character, Muck, he has the most luxurious. He's clearly the most... he wants stuff. He has the most avarice.
Who's the guy with the rainbow socks?
That's Muck, I believe.
Okay. Where do you get those crazy socks?
I don't know.
They're awesome socks.
Here's some more Grish.
Do you understand me?
Don't look at me. You're not scanning deep enough. Don't be so sure.
It sounded like...
If he's going, I'm going.
To me, you know, the voice is most similar to... I would almost... I can't believe this is the case, but it seems to me like he's doing an impersonation of Jim Carrey from The Cable Guy. Like that's what this voice sounds like. Play one of his lines again and think of Jim Carrey from The Cable Guy.
I navigated away. Okay.
Why would you do that?
Because I thought you were done.
I'm not done.
Don't look at me. You're not scanning deep enough. If he's going, I'm going.
That one right there is very capable.
It must use some sort of magnetic seal.
That one even
I'll need microchargers to blow it open.
You think that sounds like the Cable Guy?
Yeah, that sounds to me like when he's talking about like this. I buy this time, you buy this next time.
I guess I can see it. But Grish is a little bit more like...
A little bit goofy-ish.
And Jim Carrey's... The Cable Guy's more like...
All right. Well, as homework, shampoo is better.
Conditioner is better.
Happy Gilmore 2 is coming out soon. I don't know if you saw the preview.
I didn't see the preview, but I knew it was coming out. Yeah, when is fucking New King of the Hill finally coming out?
It's supposed to be coming out soon.
I'm not trying to be an asshole. I know it takes a long time to make stuff, so I'm not complaining. I'm just like so hyped.
Sounds like you're complaining.
I have a much reduced cast.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Okay. Where were we?
Really?
Oh, yes. Grish. I like Grish.
Like Grish, too.
The homework is everyone go home, watch Cable Guy, and then watch this episode again and consider whether or not Grish sounds like the guy from Cable Guy. Okay.
No deal.
Yes, deal. Yes, deal. Okay. So, Jeffrey Combs as Krem, Clint Howard as Muck, Ethan Phillips as Ulis. And Matt Mallow. It would sound like marshmallow.
Hologram.
Matt Malloy as Grish. Okay.
So, I don't know what you're talking about.
So, maybe before we continue, we should note that this episode is considered by many on the internet as terrible.
Oh, come on.
And in fact,
come on.
Some people listen as the worst episode of Enterprise.
No.
And more specifically, so That's we got a We got a tip from Twin
it's
Cities.
It's silly. It's very silly, but it's okay. There's some silly Deep Space Nine episodes. Like, there was one episode, I can't remember the name of it, but it was an episode where, like, okay, I think what happens is DS9 or a ship or something gets hijacked, and I think it's the one where they're trying to steal Dax's symbiont, and like, the whole time Quark is running around, like, causing, like, troubles. Like, he's the one that allowed this person to get on the ship.
Yes.
He kept causing trouble. He kept doing, like, treasonous shit. Right. And the whole time, I think it was, can't remember if it was Odo or Kira, but they were just like, oh, Quark. And the whole time, it's like, Quark, like, basically fucked a lot of shit up seriously and got people, like, hurt and shit.
He's done
and they kind of treated it as just like, I'm gonna get you, Quark. Right. You know?
Like Dennis the Menace.
So, like, you know, like, that's kind of what this was, too, because at the end, like, there were no repercussions for the Ferengi. Yeah. They're just like, oh, scuttle away, you guys. And I'd like to also point out that, like, they tried to make Krem out to be this sympathetic character, and at the end, we're supposed to be like, yeah, he got the better of him.
He just wanted to sexually assault
T'Pol. Like, Archer was like, maybe if you treat Krem better, blah, blah, blah. And, like, with T'Pol, it started with him wanting to, like, sexually assault her, and then when he was done sexually assaulting her, he was going to sell her into slavery.
I know, right?
And then it's like, and so,
hey, it's 2001. What are you gonna do? Was the attitude people had.
Separated the women that he was gonna take into slavery.
Yeah, and then, like, in order to appease him, like she sexually gratified him with umox. I mean, that is sexual, right? Yeah.
I think it's gotta be sexual.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves.
It's not getting ahead of it. It's just saying that, like, all these sort of, like, things that are happening that, like, that are, like, kind of, like,
you're very excited about this, and I agree with you.
And this is what I say, like, when I was saying, I thought this was a funny episode that was periodically questionable.
Okay. And we'll get to the questionable stuff. There's lots of fun stuff that we still need to talk about. But I just, before we move forward, just wanted to mention that on Instagram, Twin Cities Trekkies Pod, they messaged us and said, might interest you to know that Brannon Braga said on the Enterprise Season 1 Blu-ray documentary that he thought Acquisition was one of the worst Star Trek episodes he ever approved to be made.
Oh, man.
And I thank you very much, Twin Cities Trekkies Pod, for letting us know about that. I like that was brought up because it sort of demonstrates where Brannon Braga has issues. Brannon Braga has come up with some of the most interesting of the Star Trek stories. He's really good with the sci-fi stuff, but he was not as good with the character stuff. He worked well when he worked with, like, Ron Moore, for example, get a good sci-fi idea, but round it out with some actual good character stuff. This is a silly episode, but it's kind of fun.
Yeah. And
it's like a TOS style goofy fun episode.
Right. I mean, and like, the everyone playing the Ferengis alone isn't like you said, Patrick, how they each have a very distinct personality that they have going on. You know, like, Mook is like, you know, he's kind of like wants to challenge Ulyss, you know,
and he wants,
like,
stuff. He's got the nicest clothes.
He's like
opulent.
He's like Ulyss's subordinate, but he's also kind of like, I guess anti-authoritarian is not the word. I was saying just
ambitious.
He just wants to challenge him. He's not, you know, he doesn't feel threatened by him, basically. Yeah. And then, you know, why is it always a Ferengi's cousin? Ferengi's are always taking advantage of their cousins.
Yeah, like Cousin Gala on Deep Space Nine. And then Quark's cousin.
And then there's Quark and Rom.
Yeah.
Know?
Oh yeah. Well, they're brothers. Too? They're brothers.
Are they? They're brothers. You're right. Okay. Well, anyways,
still, a lot of family stuff.
Never allow family to stand in the way of profit.
Family.
No, if you look at the costumes, Mook is very opulently dressed. He wants to show off what he has with this red velvet. You know, it's very ornate, very nicely tailored. Krem was wearing what looked like almost like peasant's clothes.
Yeah.
Grish was, again, I sort of viewed it as like a Ferengi dandy, right? It looked like in that sort of style, the blue.
Ferengi doodle dandy. Ferengi dangle doodle dow doody.
And Ulyss was with the robes, like, clearly, like, wanted to dress like an emperor, you know, right? Like that, like, long robes, and with the whip as his weapon of choice, even though
it was really
practical. So I thought the costuming did a good job of helping the characterization. Actors did a good job of differentiating the personalities.
I think the, yes, the giggling was nice.
Yeah. You know, yeah, right.
But then the basic story, it's a predictable storyline. Yeah. It's Die Hard for a little while. It's like, it's sort of like Starship Mine. Remember when Picard had to, you know, deal with those terrorists who were on the Enterprise while it was getting cleaned by the baryonic waves?
Yeah, right.
Yeah. And then Picard had to, like, go around and set booby traps and stuff. It's kind of like that.
Booby.
So yeah, it's a predictable
story. Traps.
But it was charming. It was like a charming story.
Yeah, man.
Except for the stuff we'll get to in the next break.
Just because a guy's in his underwear, you think the worst.
Yeah. By the way,
knowing Captain Archer, he's probably rigged the place with booby traps.
Booby traps.
Just because a guy's in his underwear, you think the worst.
That joke about the underwear. He's implying that T'Pol thinks that Trip has drugged all the women and is about to assault them. Right?
I didn't get that, but now that you mentioned it.
Isn't that the only way that joke makes sense? That's the only way it makes sense if that's what he was. Like, jokingly, he's like, I know, you're just trying to say, I looks like I've drugged y'all and I was just about to sexually assault y'all.
I know.
I know what it looks like. I got my package out, my blue underwear.
That honestly never occurred to me, but now that you say it, it does make sense. I could just be slow. Maybe I'm just slow.
You just might be a kinder, nicer person than me. It's totally plausible. How about
you're a greedy son of a bitch.
How about
you? Okay.
I want to be. I don't want to be a greedy son of a bitch. I want to be generous with our audience's time and attention. So this is about the time.
Let's take a break.
Traditionally, we take a break. So we're going to do that. And after we have done that, we will return and talk a little bit more about Trip's package.
Everybody, take a break.
Be right back.
I'll be right back.
You two have fun.
And we're back.
Get back to work. Get back to work.
Very appropriate sound clip there, Dan. Mm-hmm. So this episode started with a very aggressive Ferengi headbutt shot. No.
Yeah!
Not headbutt, but like head butt shot. Like their heads look like butts.
They totally look like
butts. And it zoomed down, like it panned down, not zoomed. It wasn't panned down. On the Ferengi, accentuating the sort of butt buttiness, butt shapedness.
You're not talking about like a headbutt like this.
Liar!
No, like not that kind of headbutt. Like a
liar!
And not a butt head, as in Beavis and butt head.
No, but a butt
head.
A head that appears like a butt.
Yes.
Appears to be a butt.
A head that appears like a butt.
It is similarly looking.
Yeah. And the other, it starts with the headbutt thing. That's an accentuating the Ferengi head shape. Then the Ferengi go and objectify the human ears, first sort of caressing a regular human, just some person who's sleeping there.
And they're like putting
and making
like
fun of them.
Slices of pie like in bags.
Oh, just yeah.
Pie in sacks.
Oh, yeah.
Picking up people's left.
Butthead.
Pecan pie.
Say how your mom, butthead.
They're wheeling those missiles down.
Yeah, so right, they're casually wheeling out these big fucking torpedoes.
That was funny.
They're worried that they're not going to profit on this scenario. They have fucking torpedoes.
And later on, you see them all like sitting there all like leaned up against shit.
We don't know how much this gas cost. Because they talk about
we'll be lucky if we break even. Yeah.
So presumably from that statement, we can presume
that
there
guy
is
some, teeth,
some degree of cost, some sort of investment.
Of course there is, but
the
they
mission.
Have fucking torpedoes.
No, I agree with you, Dan. I'm just saying that, I don't know, maybe the torpedoes are shitty torpedoes.
They have antimatter injectors.
Yeah, maybe they're shitty antimatter injectors.
It seems like they weren't that impressed with most of their weaponry. They said they had weak weapons and they had a bunch of scanners.
They cleaned out all 14 weapon lockers.
But yeah, they still like,
that's got to be worth something.
They're
14
still sell stuff.
They fucking took all of the Enterprise's like weapons
and their pie.
Like, see,
I think they were going to take shit no matter what. It's just that like there's not like a great demand. They're still going to figure out how to like sell it. They're just not going to be, it's not going to be as profitable as is, you know, ultimately favorable.
Well, I mean, I don't know what they expected. They expect everyone to have a fucking vault. Like they, so they straight up steal their chairs too.
Yeah. Right? They're like, that guy was like, I'm taking this chair by the way.
Yeah. And they, at first, like which Ferengi was stealing their food? Was that Mook? I don't know. But first, they looked like he was taking a cheese and grape plate or something like that. And he was like, gross. But yeah, they like the pie,
just
though.
Just putting it in the sack.
And they're just putting it all in the sack.
And
and
the thing is, here's the deal with the pie in the sack thing.
Pie in the sack.
The pie in the sack, I think, is the key to the whole thing. It's the fulcrum upon which one will determine whether or not they enjoy this episode. Does that make sense?
If they don't, if you don't like the pie in the bag gag, you're like pie in the bag gag. It means you won't like the episode.
Yes, that's why.
Like, it's your loss.
To extend the Fulcrum analogy, which I'm apt to do, as you know, longtime listener.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
Well, no, this happens from time to time. If you are willing to accept this pie into the sack business, you're willing to accept this as a cartoon. This is a live action cartoon, and the pie in the sack is the most overt and extreme example of that, where it's exactly like in a Warner Brothers cartoon with like robbers or whatever, like going right. through and just putting whole turkeys in a sack, putting mashed right. potatoes in a sack,
they're wearing masks,
right? Because you're conveying the cartoon and this episode are conveying the degree of greed, the degree of avarice you have for these objects that
you expect me to go empty-handed,
shoving them into a sack just to possess them, just to own them. Even if in owning them you ruin them, you still own them, and that's the message that's being sent across.
Torpedo,
and it is a very cartoon-like thing to do. And all this other stuff they do with the dragging whole torpedoes through, piling up all the women, literally piling up all yes. the women. These are very cartoonish things, even when, if you were to really consider them, they're really serious. Also, yeah. the way Archer and Trip end up dealing with the Ferengi is to treat them like hilarious cartoon annoyances. So the whole episode, almost immediately, both Trip and Archer encountering these Ferengi are like, get a load of these jokers.
Right.
Like, before they even know they've got each other to help each other out,
right.
they're like, well, these guys are fools.
They knew right away. They were like, yeah.
Archer wasn't taking it seriously at all.
You can tell already.
Even when he was knocked around a
They're
bit.
Like primitive humans.
So that's what
You're
I'm saying.
You're right, Krem.
I'm saying if you're cool with it being a cartoon storyline, you're going to dig it. And this is similar to like Move Along Home and so many other Star Trek episodes where if you're willing to accept okay. the ridiculous conceit, you're going to enjoy it. If not, no worries. You're not going to enjoy it. And that's a valid position.
Okay, so... First, I want to finish up the rest of the stuff that I saw them take. So,
oh, okay.
So yeah.
the list of items. This is officially a Dan list.
Well,
you gotta highlight this because I want this to be a feature.
Well, I mean, you already started listing stuff, so I just thought I'd integrate my list with stuff that you guys.
I get
it. Listing.
I get where you're going from, but yeah. I just think for format purposes,
okay.
I think it's great for us to be able to advertise. This is another one.
So
of
if
Dan,
you guys start
Dan's
listing
list.
Something in my list, should I interrupt you and be like, "That's in my list," and
yes.
then okay, in the yeah. future I will do that.
Say this is now a time you just insert
okay.
your list right
That's
there.
That's really cute.
Oh.
It is.
I'm so sincere.
Come on.
Really?
Yeah. All right, Dan, continue your list. You had torpedoes, you had pies, not the cheese and charcuterie platter because it was too
yeah,
stinky.
Yeah, that was gross. They
I wonder
like
what,
that.
Kind of what kind of cheese do you think it was? Like a Tilsiter?
No, it was probably just some kind of like jack cheese.
Those people live on some kind of mushroom planet with like mud all over the place. Why aren't they eating cheese?
Come they on. Eat grubs. They eat stinky grubs all day. Anyway, yeah. all right.
anyway we've list. Already mentioned like some of the other stuff. They also Mook stole and torpedoes and shit. Mook stole some boots.
Books
sorry,
books.
No, not books. Boots.
Books.
Boots.
Now, because we saw his socks.
Yeah, and that socks made me wonder if he stole those socks off camera or if that came from a previous plunder.
I think a previous
I think
plunder
he was just wearing snazzy socks.
I think those are bullion socks.
Those are. I swear I've seen those socks like on
they
Amazon.
Looked all baggy.
Like those.
It's the kind of thing Quark would wear.
It's the kind.
Very
no,
quarkish.
It's the kind of thing you'd
well,
give.
Quark is a real sharp dresser, and these guys weren't.
It's the kind of thing you'd give somebody on Christmas or like some kind of festive holiday.
Yeah,
you'd give
yeah.
them these colorful socks,
or like you use it as a stocking.
Yeah.
On
so
Christmas.
They also stole scanners.
Scanners.
They stole some low grade trinkets.
Low grade trinkets.
And then I mentioned the weapons locker. So there was just a few Google. More things I
there's,
mentioned.
There's one thing, there's a couple things missing off your
I'm
list.
Sure there is.
Porthos.
They didn't steal Porthos.
They
yeah.
totally put him in a box,
they
dude.
They put Porthos in a fucking box. They after talking to him for a while.
It was brutal. Porthos was in the dark for like, who knows?
I like that they thought Porthos had sexy big ears.
Yeah, they thought. Do you think they thought he was like a higher life form because of his ears? Didn't they say something about
yeah.
that?
They
didn't
were
they say
really
something
giving
to
shit,
that?
Yeah, I think they were at least one of them.
They said something like that.
Was it Mook who was holding him? And
I can't remember what he said though.
Yeah. Well, that's all right. It's not like the biggest deal, Dan.
Chief O'Brien.
But I want to know. Oh, here he goes. Oh no, here it is. Here I found it.
I
found it. Okay.
I
Gris says, "Where's the vault? Do you understand me?" He's talking to Porthos. And then Porthos goes, and then Gris goes, "I can't lock onto its language." And then Mook goes, "It's a lower life form, you fool. Probably the captain's next meal." And Gris goes, "Don't be so sure. Look at the size of its ears."
Yeah.
So he does. He says it's a higher life.
Does he say ears or lobes?
He actually says ears in this one.
Interesting.
Isn't that interesting?
Don't be so sure.
So there's poor. What else? What else did I miss anything else from the list?
Well, also the women.
That was like kind of
in process.
They were separated in the choice.
They stacked up the women. And
I know. And I guess I just didn't. I was thinking about objects. I wasn't thinking about life forms. I was thinking about the objects.
And
they
since
steal.
You do not, as a practice, you do not objectify women.
Mm-hmm. Or generally dogs, speaking, or dogs.
I get it. So you, since you objectify neither of these entities, categories of entities.
I subjectify them.
You occasionally might subjectify them.
I subjectify them to all sorts of shit.
So that's creepy and fucked up. Maybe that's where you're like, I didn't even consider this stealing. This was a perfectly reasonable thing to do. Just stack a bunch of women up just because it's 2001. And
how many people are on the Enterprise?
I think it's 100 something.
Okay.
Not that many. Because TOS Enterprise was like 400.
So that may have been all the women they had anyway.
The Cage Enterprise was 200 something. TOS was 400 something.
Yeah.
Enterprise D was 1,000.
Enterprise D's nuts.
Why am I so childish?
I don't know, man.
I don't know either.
So you were talking about how there was like a cartoonish sort of
vibe,
like, yeah, just like how they
the logic they were, like, using cartoon and plot cartoon,
right,
logic.
And then the plot was all like your classic tropes of how you like trick people and shit, and you were saying, but first I want to just first you're saying if you're okay with that, you're gonna be okay with the episode, and you compared it to Move Along Home, and I would argue that I enjoyed this more than Move Along Home. I did. Along Home, I have a hard time with. And the other
I like Move Along Home because it's got a certain charm to it.
Yeah,
but
I guess
it is.
And I don't know, I'd have to see this other episode again to really make a full judgment. I know you're way into this episode, Patrick. I don't know how into this episode you are, Jesse.
Oh, I'm curious which episode
this is. It's the DS9 where they play baseball on the holodeck.
I don't like that episode.
You don't, Patrick? No. I could have sworn you said that it was a fun episode.
I actually haven't seen that.
I find it sort of a mild.
The baseball one.
Yeah, with the Vulcans.
It's like one that I haven't sought it out, it makes me
uncomfortable.
I swear, Patrick, that one time I heard you say that episode.
One time.
No, I heard you.
Dude, have you ever watched a baseball game?
Oh my God.
It's terrible.
Fuck off, both of you, right now. Fuck off for just like a few seconds.
Alrighty, Jesse, let's go. Let's go.
No, I remember specifically, Patrick, one time talking to you about that episode and how silly it was, and you were like, yeah, it is a silly episode for sure, but there's something charming about it or something like that.
It's plausible, but I don't hate the episode, but it does make me a little uncomfortable. I think it's uncomfortable seeing Nog wearing a baseball cap
in bright
daylight. That makes me weirded out. Seeing Odo as an umpire makes sense thematically, makes sense for the character.
But it looks weird. He wears a mask.
Yeah, because he's all like, "You're out of here," but like in a weird Odo. It's a bizarre episode. I like Sisko.
Who's the pitcher?
Was it Kira? Was she the pitcher? I don't remember. Anyway, maybe one day we'll cover that episode if Dan's algorithm selects it for us to cover.
I do have a list of the plot, the sort of like the ways they tricked the Ferengi.
I would be
interested in this list. It's a 7-point list.
How they tricked the Ferengi.
And the
best part is we haven't even talked about Tripp's package.
Oh, you're right. We got to talk about Tripp's package.
But not yet. Let's talk about how they tricked the Ferengi, and then later
we'll talk about Tripp's package.
We'll talk about how Tripp and Little Tripp have to do a Die Hard.
Tripp and Little Tripp.
Yeah.
Where would I stay?
In between my thighs.
I don't get it.
So this is called Trick Time. Not trip time. No. Trick time.
That comes a little bit later in this episode of the podcast.
This is how they trick them. So there's the classic, quote, hostage outwits captors by pitting one or more of them against each other by planting seeds of jealousy in their brains through their words and observations.
Yeah.
I'm reading this off of the thing.
I enjoyed your cadence.
I'm just
saying.
All
I was going to say.
I'm not going to pretend.
I enjoyed your cadence, and what the audience couldn't see is you were sort of conducting with your hand.
I guess I was.
They were nice gestures.
And you had your pinky up as high as it could be.
I know, it seems like pretentious, but I wasn't meaning for it to be. I was just trying to get through it without like falling apart.
And you didn't.
Anyways.
Conducting without a baton.
So they turned the Ferengis against, like, both Trip Tucker and Archer. Mostly Archer, but Trip plays a hand in helping how they turn the Ferengis against each other, you know, by being like, oh, well, you don't want to go in there. Archer set booby traps. You're like, I'm going to go in there anyway, you know, and then
reverse psychology.
And then like how Archer is with Krem, he's just like, you know, they treat you like shit, you know, that kind of stuff.
Krem is funny because in German, Krem is like cream. So I just think of him
Krem,
like my
Krem.
When I hear his name out loud, my brain just translates it instantly to cream.
It's like, oh, is it strawberries?
So it's like
Krem.
Archer's hanging out with cream.
Krem.
Cream.
Krem. Krem.
Okay.
So, next up on the list.
Number two.
Dan's list.
It's the classic
special feature of the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
It's the classic quote, other guys are so greedy that they can't work together to steal from others because they're too busy stealing from each other / suspecting that they're stealing from each other.
Mm-hmm.
And that was, of course, you know, Mook and Ulis were all arguing about, you know.
Because that one dude was like, I'm just going to, if I see stuff, I'm going to take it.
Yeah. And he's like, well, I'll take it out of your pay or whatever. There was one part.
Which one's kind of fucked up, by the way. Because if they did have an agreement, Mook's in the wrong here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not to get involved in this, but Mook is all like, oh, I like this piece of medical equipment that looks like some fucked up.
Okay. He was licking the edge of
poker.
That. Were we supposed to like assume that he's like licking butt? Like, because like that's a butt reamer, right?
It looked like a butt reamer.
Yeah.
Is that the medical term?
It's a butt reamer. Yeah,
because
it looked like something weird.
And so he's like licking the end, and it's supposed to be all suggestive. Yeah. I think
he was
somehow.
All like talking about the craftsmanship or something.
Yeah, yeah, it's. I think it was implied. I think that was implied that it was a butt device, and that he was licking a butt.
And he was a connoisseur.
Yeah, he was a butt connoisseur, a butt chasseur.
There's nothing wrong with that.
Okay, number three. Oh wait, to continue on. Part on number two, I'd also like to mention that Grish is the only one that kind of seems sensible
in all the scenarios.
Right.
He's
trying to talk sense.
He's not necessarily right, but he's kind of proceeding from a relatively reasonable
standard. Right. He's trying to like keep his head straight. Okay, then there's number three, the classic quote, good guy crew pretends to fight with each other to sound convincing / cause confusion.
Yes. Right. Totally.
That's, of course, you know.
With Tucker and Archer.
Again, a very TOS-y type thing. To
yeah, where they like, he's like, don't do that, sir. Oh, that's an order or whatever. And then he's like.
Jokingly.
Yeah, and he's like.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
That's when he says that.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
You're a greedy son of a bitch.
I just told you. No deal.
No deal.
Yeah, I was.
Now,
phony vault.
Question for you, Dan. On your list, does the item you just mentioned include? Does that incorporate lying about stuff? Okay, let me rephrase
okay.
that. Archer is all talking about how he doesn't.
We're going in circles.
He's willing to like sell the women, mm-hmm. right? Is that included in list item three?
Where
was the pretending like the crew is fighting with each other? Or
are
was
you
that
talking
a
about
separate
when,
list item?
Oh wait, are you talking about the
because the list item you mentioned was the old gag of we're going to pretend to fight to distract the bad guys. And I'm asking, does that include either
does
Archer's
it,
ruse about the gold or Archer talking about how T'Pol and Vulcans are lame and shitty? You know, he's just making up shit
right.
to pretend like he doesn't have...
You know, it's a good question about, because when he said, the quote he said was like, he said, they're not that cool anyways.
They're really not all that interesting once you get to know them.
And then at the end of the episode, like T'Pol acts all hurt about it.
Well, she was teasing him, and that was my favorite part of the episode because I found it such a charming exchange. And
you think she was teasing?
Yes, 100%.
Vulcans can't tease.
No,
yes, they can.
Of course they can.
You know they can.
They can't tease.
No, you know this.
They're total
Spock
assholes.
Spock is always
teasing.
No, but he's doing it logically. That's why it hurts so much more when Spock says it, because he's logically
saying... No, it's not logical.
He's saying, Doctor, I think you're actually talking out of your butt. And like, that's why it's much so much more of an insult.
Spock is always talking
it's
out
so,
of his butt.
No, it's because it's so much more of an insult, because he literally means you are talking
Spock
out of your...
Spock is one of the most sarcastic motherfuckers
are you not,
in the
you're
Star
not,
Trek
You're not understanding what I'm saying. What I'm saying is, if most people, when I go up to you and say, you're talking out of your ass, that doesn't literally mean that. And so you can just be like, oh, harumph. But like when Spock says it, he literally means they're talking out of their butt cheeks. And so that's got to be like, that was so fucked up. He literally thinks that I'm that. You know what I'm saying?
Well, Jesse is very appreciative of what you're saying. As you can tell, he's lunching out over here. Meanwhile, I'm thinking, I don't know, Dan. I think that's more of a Data thing. That's more of a Data thing, if you ask me.
He's old enough. That.
Anyway, so...
But I'm not sure, you know, it's an interesting way to categorize things. I mean, totally meaningless and pointless, I guess, with regard to an analysis of this episode. But I just, you know, continue the list. How many are
Her names there? Hoshi. How many? You're going to keep your filthy hands off her.
You're going to keep your filthy hands off her.
Her name's Hoshi. You're going to keep your filthy hands off her.
How many list items are on this?
There's only a few more.
Will it take us to the break?
I think I can get it done before then.
All right.
I think I can do that.
All right. Let's try to
take
it
to the break.
There was actually, by the way, there were two that's in orders in that whole discussion
that,
we
let's
had,
save
but that's
that,
that
third,
for later. Yeah.
The third
I don't
want
to go into too many tangents.
Yeah.
Okay.
And just cognitively, we want to give the audience some time to consider what has been said before, our previous analysis, until we get into the whole that's an order business.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely, it definitely includes the part where it says, like, I'll show you where the gold is. And then, you know, and then, yeah, it's like kind of everything they're doing that isn't in conjunction with each other. Number four.
Conjunction.
I was trying to decide what word to use halfway through.
I get it.
You should have managed your businesses better.
Yeah,
I love that.
Manage your businesses.
It was such a great delivery,
this
in
is
part
a
because it,
delivery.
It, because it was so sincere.
Yeah, right.
Like, he was just really.
He didn't understand.
And he felt bad. He actually felt bad. He thought it was like a historic problem. He was like, "Oh, this is a, you guys went through some terrible
humans.
Business, for lack of a better term."
Okay, so number four, they do the classic. Trip Tucker takes them on a tour of the ship. Falsely,
Trip Tucker takes them on a tour.
Then they do the classic. Just couldn't wait. It was just boiling up inside of you, wasn't it? It was just boiling up. No, I mean, I understand. That's cool. I get it. Sometimes it's just too much to contain sometimes, you know? It happens.
It does.
It happens to all of us. Sometimes you just can't hold it in.
I like it when Jesse gets in trouble.
No, I'm serious. No, I'm serious. You know? It's just like, it's like a tick. Like there's a condition around this whole like idea. You
what
know?
Condition is your condition is in? Old song says.
Right. They do the classic. Trip Tucker takes them on a tour of the ship, falsely claiming that they're going to the treasure vault. I guess that could kind of, well, that could probably be morphed into three a little bit. But no, it's not, because... Because
he's working on his own. Because
three
for me really was the two or more people pretending.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I think
right.
That's the key there. That's the distinction.
Yeah, no. Yeah, no, this is the classic. He's leading them down the wrong path. It is separate. He's leading them down...
Wandering around
woods, saying like, no, just keep going this way. Keep following me. Oh, it's this way. And then tricking them. Number five, Trip Tucker does the quote, I'm going to pretend it's dangerous in here to trick you, but I already know you'll know that I'm lying about it. So you'll want to go in yourself, but then I know that you all are so greedy that instead you'll all fight each other to get inside. That will fuck your shit up.
Right.
You know? So basically saying like, oh no, there's booby traps in there. And they're like, oh, we're going there. And so then they all fight.
Can you cite three examples from media of a similar gag?
And so they get in there, and then they're all like, and then when they get in there, he knows they're going to like fight each other and like, and then fight amongst themselves and shit. It's like, why are you calling me out like that?
Is it one of those things that's so common that you can't remember?
I mean, I don't know. That sounds like such a cop-out answer, but, you know, it's just like...
I'll freely admit, I know, I agree with you. I can't think of any immediate examples, but I have to figure that out then.
You know, we're so focused on this one episode.
Our brains
can't
think
about the rest.
I'll have to come back to you on that.
History.
Plus, we have various types of brain damage.
Oh, and 2 weeks ago, none of us... Remember 2 weeks ago when I play the sound coming back in from break?
Was that in Patterns of Force?
Yeah, I guess it would be.
Where there was, you don't even remember the topic.
But like, yeah, but there was one where I claimed that, yes, like I didn't. So I had three sets of sounds, for one set for each break, and I didn't hit one of the sets of sounds, meaning like I didn't play one of my sets of sounds. But I still had to play three sounds coming back from the break. So I want to know if I repeated one of those sets twice or if I played something totally different. And none of us still know.
Well, did you go back and listen?
I didn't think to yet.
All right. Well, how about this? That'll be your homework next week.
But also, and find another example of this telling them it's dangerous in there when it really isn't, or something. Yeah. Or thinking.
Well, we can all work on that. All right. Okay. Next on the list.
Was it just some closet or something?
Some kind of engineering closet.
Yeah.
Number six. It turns out it was dangerous, like Tripp said it was going to, like Tripp said, you know, with the booby traps, how he
but
was faking it.
But in a different way.
But not because of booby traps.
Booby traps.
It was because T'Pol was in there.
Yeah.
It was that kind of trap.
And
T'Pol didn't play.
It's a trap!
And because, Dan, because I know you to be a progressive feminist.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. I presume you're not meaning
booby traps.
Meaning to,
oh no,
sort of create an implicit comparison between the term booby trap
booby traps
and T'Pol, a famously buxom first off.
No.
All right.
No.
Just wanted to confirm
that T'Pol,
no.
That there was not meant to be some sort of 2001 era irony that T'Pol of all people was the booby trap.
No.
I didn't put them there.
What, the boobs?
The boobs.
Wow!
Back in the early 2000s, you just put the boobs on the TV. I would never make that comparison, and the very fact that you thought I was means you're the perverted one.
Indeed.
That old trick. That old trick. Indeed. When you accuse somebody of being a certain way, and you're like, "I'm not," and the fact that you thought I was means you're that way. Right. You know that old trick.
I'm familiar.
It's an old and a new one.
With that old trick.
The last one. When
which Mook, number is this? Is seven?
Seven.
Seven.
When Mook and Ulis are carrying the torpedo back, Krem all hurts himself. Trip Tucker looks at him.
wait.
Come on, man.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
Now it's you, Patrick.
No. I'm sorry. I accepted whatever responsibility.
Jesus Christ.
No, it's just you have this really nicely organized list, and then you said, wait, what was that last thing?
Krem all hurts himself.
I wrote that out. The fact that I wrote Krem all.
Krem all. Krem all hurts himself.
Krem all hurts himself.
Like, what?
Okay, I could have been a little more eloquent with my words. If I'm bothering to read off the page.
It has its own eloquence. That's what's so great about it.
I mean, I liked it better than just saying Krem hurts himself.
Don't look at me.
It threw us off, okay? Yeah. All right. Sorry. You may continue.
Yeah. Yeah, I should be more careful when I'm reading off shit. But no, it's 100% pure Dan. I'm starting over. Then when Mook and Ulis are carrying the torpedo back, Krem all hurts himself. Yeah, I guess that does sound kind of funny, doesn't it? Trip Tucker looks at him first like, what a loser. Then he shoots him a smirk, not a sneer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Smirk versus sneer.
I get it. It's different and interesting. Yeah. Now, do you have any qualms with that, or did you just find it an interesting choice? Smirk rather than sneer.
I always like, whenever I read fantasy books, people are always smirking and sneering. I haven't read a fantasy book in a long time.
Smirking and sneering.
Smirking and sneering.
That sounds like a good time on a Saturday
night.
What
was the last one you read?
Smirking and sneering. I mean, like that kind of fantasy. I remember I used to, this is a long ass fucking time ago, last fantasy book I don't remember, but I do remember, this is kind of a tangent, that around 5th, 6th grade, I was all into those Dragonlance fantasy books.
Yeah, Dragonlance.
But that's not the last fantasy book I read.
I actually never read those.
But like those, it's kind of books like that where you'd like always be reading.
Did Dragonlance refer to the type of tool needed to defeat a dragon, or did it refer to
a penis? No, it was not a penis.
Did it refer to a lance?
It's not a dragon's penis.
It was made out of dragon bits.
Penis.
Like, was it a Dragonlance because
it was
made,
a big old cow,
made out of dragon, or was it a Dragonlance because it was a lance intended to be used on a dragon?
Is that like an ass hat is a hat for your ass, or is it a hat made out of ass?
Made out of ass, yeah. It's a similar question.
Yeah.
Is it an ass you put on your head?
Yeah, I'll let you work that out for yourself. You know, I don't want to like lock you into one specific way of, you know, defining something.
Indeed.
I don't even know why I included that last one. When Mook and Ulis are carrying the torpedo, Krem hurts himself. Trip Trucker looks at him like, "What a loser!" Then smiles at him.
So that was that. Wait, was that on your list?
Yeah, I don't know why that made the list.
That sort of doesn't, because the list of ways they got fooled.
Oh, you know what? That might have belonged on a different list.
Oh no, you
a have different a different list.
I have a different list.
How many lists do you have, sir?
Well, we haven't even gotten to the that's an order business.
Oh, shit. No. I have another list of like, okay, this should have gone on the list of like Krem getting like shit on. Basically.
How long is that list?
That's like 15. We don't actually have to do that one if you don't want to.
You don't
want to
do that list?
No, I'd do it. Sure.
You don't have confidence in that list?
It's an even longer list.
All right. Well, let's.
So I want to end this one on. It was dangerous, like you said, but not because of booby traps. It was because T'Pol shot them, and then Patrick implied something.
No,
that I was a pervert, which means he's a pervert.
I implied no such thing, sir. No such thing. All right.
Booby traps.
So we got to go to break
just
in a second.
Because the guy's in his underwear, you think the worst.
We got to go to break in a second.
Oh,
but...
the list did take us to the end. I lied.
Yeah. No, that's good. You said you'd finish the list before we went to break, and you have.
Yeah, I thought I would give us more time to talk about Trip's package.
It does give us an opportunity. We briefly touched on this earlier, but I just wanted to highlight.
We touched on Trip's package earlier?
No, not yet. We're going to talk about that in the third break, but got to keep people listening. You got to keep people listening to the podcast.
Suspense.
And we got to let them know that there'll be some dick talk in just
why?
But not yet. Before the break.
Oh, not there.
I did want to reference the updated Ferengi whip that Ulis uses.
Mjuk Lat Ulis.
Which is cool, because the original TNG Ferengi whips were silly and stupid. But the Lower Decks ones were intended to kind of mimic that a little bit, but they sort of worked better. They were more organic to the animated format. I thought this worked really well as a live-action electric whip.
Yeah, I was into it.
It was a well-done implementation of that concept.
Yeah, I agree.
Knocked him out.
I agree.
Okay, so I said my piece.
With regard to
the whip. So
La Ruvata.
That brings us to break time. So
what?
Yes, we're gonna take a break, and when we return, we will conclude our discussion of acquisition. Be right back.
Please take me with you.
All right, we are back.
You said 20 minutes. It's been at least an hour.
Yeah, it felt like it.
Oh, don't I know it.
I was thinking real quick about how, like, people, Patrick, you were saying that people thought that this was a shitty episode.
Yes.
And I liked it, but I'm trying to think of a worse Enterprise episode, and maybe I just have, like, maybe there's this weird special place in my heart for Enterprise where I can't call any of the episodes bad. And I've never thought about that before, because I've never thought of myself as like a mega Enterprise fan, you know? I always liked it, but I don't know why I can't think of any episodes that are really terrible. Maybe I need to rewatch it.
Yeah, well, maybe that was just your approach to watching it, just sort of a neutral approach.
Yeah, maybe it's like, I didn't love it or hate it, I was indifferent to it, that kind
of
deal.
But it still is sort of comforting to watch.
My vibe with Enterprise is that it rarely, if ever, achieves true glory, like in terms of like truly classic, like the Inner Light or All Good Things or The Visitor or Year of Hell. Like I think it doesn't often.
There's nothing here.
If ever get to that truly classic level, but at the same time, I think they so perfected the formula, that they also never had like a truly shit episode. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes they had boring episodes. I think the worst that Enterprise gets is
they had
is
silly
boring.
Outfits.
And by the way, for some people, and I totally respect this, for some people, boring is the worst. Right? It can be better to have like an actually awful episode.
I think Patrick,
some people really don't like
boring.
Patrick,
you're not a fan of boring.
I'm not a fan of boring, but I like kind of like what Jesse was
He's
saying.
He's not a fan of a boring butt.
Butt boring butt.
He wants an exciting butt. He doesn't like a boring butt.
Give me that.
He doesn't want a butt
ass
that bores into your face.
you're generating some horrific imagery here, Dan. But like
really?
Like Jesse was saying, there's something comforting about it. And I think it is a function of the period of time that Enterprise was produced in.
at the end.
Don't be so sure.
At the end of this sort of golden era of Star Trek, where they had perfected their production techniques, they had perfected casting and story writing and story structure. On the one hand, on the other hand, there was a little less excitement. There was not so much new. The era, the time period they set it in, let them do a couple new things, but it was kind of suffered from similar fate to Voyager, where it was a ship flying in and out, having a weekly adventures, and right. and that had been being done for so long that there was a little bit of rehashing. And even this story is a very rehashed, predictable story in so many ways, not just from Star Trek, just from a million different sitcoms. And
this is a waste of time.
But it was produced very nicely, acted very well. I do agree with you, Dan. I think in terms of story structure and everything, it is a better product than Move Along Home. Maybe less charming.
And more
in some
so than the baseball one?
Yeah, I mean I would definitely watch this one over the baseball one.
Yeah.
The baseball one, it makes me uncomfortable in ways that make it interesting.
Seeing like Vulcans all like play baseball and be all like, we're playing baseball.
Just the idea of a
Vulcan
being obsessed with baseball is so
that
funny.
That is a strike.
So if people don't like this episode, I get it. But you're I also out. Think there, you know, and I even saw this the other day on I don't know, Blue Sky or Reddit or something, where somebody was commenting on like not listening to some podcast because they're covering Enterprise and that they never want to watch Enterprise again. And it's like, okay, I mean, yeah, well, sure.
Why do people
I get it?
Wait,
but
are there people? Why do people have such an aversion that they have something principally philosophically wrong with like the idea?
I don't know if it rose. Look, I don't want to overinterpret a brief social media post to rise to the level of a philosophical disagreement. I think they were more grousing.
Your loss.
They were grousing about the fact that a podcast that they enjoyed was moving on to covering a series they did not enjoy, and so they thought basically they weren't going to get to enjoy their podcast for
they
the
talk
next
about us
period of time. No, they were not talking
nobody
about
nobody talks about
but
us.
I know aww. That I know that I've heard that from people before, where they one issue some people have with our show's format is because we bounce around, if they're not yet
bounce
ready
around.
To watch a series or whatever, or if they don't like us, you know, some people don't like Enterprise, so they're not even going to listen to this episode, right? Yeah. I get it, but it's less of impactful with our show because since we bounce around, well, next week they'll probably be interested, or maybe the following.
Yeah.
We have a contract.
Our show
we had a deal.
Is really geared towards, I mean, we narrow our audience as a result, but our show really is geared towards like sort of full-throated fans who have seen most of the stuff and are willing to bounce around the Star Trek universe and
better
sort of
believe
let us drag them along and enjoy some of these episodes.
You're right, Krem.
Indeed.
Well, yeah, and that does wonders for like mass adoption is when you limit your audience to only the most like serious most complete fans. I'm not trying to say that we're the most serious
complete fans.
I don't know how to word it, because at first I was saying most serious fans and I was like, no, the most serious Star Trek fans are not probably listening to us, but like
most I shouldn't think so.
Most specifically credentialed Star Trek fans.
Yeah. Sure, I enjoy the way
most,
you phrase that.
Most specifically credentialed Star Trek fans.
Credentials.
Ones that have seen like everything from like Voyager to the animated series to like
I was
know,
thinking
whatever.
We'll do a fun episode sometime. I thought we should do a
yikes.
Instruction manual for the It's Got Star Trek podcast. And we'll explain some of the stuff. We'll talk about the algorithm and sound effects.
That'd be
okay. Let's
sort of
do it.
Explain the best way to approach our podcast.
That's one we should do it like a video.
Yeah, maybe we'll do some illustrations. Anyway, back to this this fun episode that we all seem to enjoy, despite some of the critiques that other people have leveled to it, which are again understandable critiques.
Those you know, guys are a bunch of motherfuckers.
They had the rules of acquisition.
Yes,
the one this they had.
Never allow family to stand in the way of profit.
I feel like that family. One's been said before.
Yeah, that's they listed some. They didn't come up with new rules of acquisition. These
they
were
had four. That was number 6. 45 is expand or die. 23 is nothing is more important. Is 23 is this?
Nothing is more important than your health, except for your money.
Which was kind of weirdly placed when they said it. They said it because they were like they said something. It was about like they go to the sick bay and they're basically like they wouldn't hide the vault in the sick bay.
Yeah.
And then Ulysses says that line. He goes, nothing's better.
Nothing is more important than your health, except for your money.
Like, it didn't, It didn't really make sense to say that after they talked about, why would they put a vault in the sick bay? There's nothing more important than your health and money. Like, they had the same things in common.
It's a non sequitur.
It's a non sequitur, but they had the same things in common where it's like money. Oh, there's money in the sick bay, money and health, but it didn't like, it didn't make, here it is.
Like, why? What's the next word? Did it make sense? Or what,
Mook
what's,
said,
what's
why?
Say?
Mook says, why would they keep a vault in the medical bay? Eula says, rule of acquisition number 23. Nothing is more important than your health except for your money. Yeah, it's non sequitur.
Why is that 23?
I don't know. Why is it not 54? What do you mean?
Exactly.
Anyways, just the point being that, like, yes, they both have money and sick bay and health in common, but they have nothing to do with each other. Okay, and then there was this guy. I think this is a rule of acquisition.
A man is only worth the sum of his possessions.
Is that one?
I believe so.
Yeah, yes. That's totally like number one.
I had the rule.
Oh, 73.
The rule
of
acquisitions book. Once upon a time, a little cute little book.
No.
I still have it. It's probably on my bookshelf.
Wow, that sounds cute.
They don't list which one that is. How many of the rules of acquisition are there actually?
A million.
They've filled in a lot of them.
Like, are they all canon, or are they just like for the book they made some?
I don't know if they made up any for the book. I can't remember. It's been a while since I read it, or if they just left blank the ones that hadn't been revealed yet in canon. But I don't know. It was fun.
Okay, well, we want to talk about his blue bulgerific underpants.
Ah, the penis scenario.
The penis. What's
the
up
penis
with
situation.
What's up with him with Trip Tucker and his penis always being popping out?
We've discussed this.
Like
in
the first episode when he was they're rubbing up
broken,
the oil.
Broken bow.
So he was in some sort of like decontamination chamber.
Because I guess coming back from that lunar mission.
Isn't that where they were in Broken
was
Bow?
Was he like the last one in line or something?
So in
other people will.
He got extra dirty, like whatever they got up to on that lunar mission. Trip Tucker got extra dirty.
He was rolling around in the lunar dust.
So it was the decontamination chamber in Broken Bow, and this one. And both times we see him in his underpants.
There's a couple other times too, I think.
I don't get it.
Well, we've discussed in the past that in 2001. When they put Enterprise together, at that
you all right, Captain?
Of that period in the up and down march of progressivism, that the studio response to cultural changes, where people started thinking it was becoming more and more distasteful to over sexualize women,
they thought they could show men like that and it would fix the problem.
In 2001, they were like, you know what? People think we're exploiting women too much sexually. The way to get around that is to exploit men sexually too.
We'll keep exploiting women, but let's exploit men.
They thought that was the complaint, that not that we maybe shouldn't be sexually exploiting anybody.
Yeah. And it doesn't work. The coding is not the same.
And we're not prudes here at It's Got Star Trek. We like penises and boobs and butts
and
boobs
and burginas and burgers. All of that.
The coding is not quite the same. Showing. I don't want to get all into this, but like it's not like it's like, oh well, what's wrong with showing women in these positions? They show men all sexy too, you know, and it's not.
It's like
the coding is different a little bit.
Exactly. It's not a one-to-one scenario that just because Trip it's
contextually
Trip
different.
Is running around in his tight little business. Now,
getting a little well done in here.
That all being said, it is fun to see Trip running around in his fun little matching tank top and boxer shorts.
Right.
Not boxer shorts, boxer briefs.
And it pretty much lasts until like T'Pol sees him and he's like, blah, blah, blah.
I like.
And then he like finds like his outfit, his normal duty outfit.
Which made me
duty
sad.
Or no duty. Did you say T'Pol season? Is that what you just said? When he gets to
season.
I like when Trip finds Phlox. And he squats near him, and his bulge super pops out.
They have Trip crouching like a monkey man repeatedly.
I know,
so that you can see his digging balls flopping around.
I have a short list of Trip Tucker does a lot of underwear.
Real
hopping.
Quick, before you do the list, I wanted to suggest that, you know, because Jesse talked about how partway through the episode he finds a jumpsuit, which at least for a little bit we get to see him wearing it, but all unzipped. So indicating that he just found it and got into it real quick, but he didn't have time to zip it up for some reason. I wish instead, like, this is not a critique. This is just an alternate version of this episode, is that the gag should have been that Trip gets fewer and fewer items of clothing throughout the course of the episode until he's running around completely nude.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And at the end, he has to fight the Ferengi Eastern Promises style with his dick and balls flopping around
with a knife.
I think that would have been a fun gag because.
But he only started out with like two articles.
Yeah, I'm saying you start different. You start you just have Tripp start out normal, but then as a quirk of what's going on. Through plot reasons, he has to keep taking off pieces of clothing. Like maybe he has to subdue one of the Ferengi using his underwear. Right. So he has to take off his underwear to like plop it on the Ferengi's head comically. And the Ferengi's all like, oh no. And then Tripp is all like nude and you just see his butt.
Yeah.
What do you need all this for anyway?
All right, your list.
Well, it's not actually really exciting because I'm describing him like doing actions. It's not great. So
I'm kind of into this. Okay, right now. I've worked myself up just a little bit. So why don't you go ahead and read this list of five ways that we get to see Tripp's bulge?
Well,
five.
It's more like monkey hopping underwear Tripp.
So okay, you've really advertised this in an enticing fashion. Let's do it.
He finds Phlox on the ground. Like I mentioned, you super see his bulge, but then he skitters away when the Ferengi start coming in off screen.
He
kind of hops and skitters off screen. And then number two, when he wakes up to Paul and she's like, I let out the gas and knocked everyone out, you know. He skitters away when the Ferengi come again. Both times, he like looks to like both ways, and then he goes, hops away. And then he zips away again later from Mook, this time fully clothed, unfortunately, in his uniform it's dark. Did you notice his uniforms? They're both blue, but his uniform's a little darker blue. But he zips away again, and like he's like a slimy pile that like zips away. He goes like,
yeah. Zoop.
So yeah, that was the me describing... actions that are best described through ocular means.
Ocular.
All right. Octopus. Sounds good. Good list. A couple of canon issues.
I did
here.
Have that big long list too, but
one canon issue. Let's save that list.
Danny Long list.
How about this? You write us into feedback@discussstartrek.com if you want the list of creme business. Was it creme business?
It's
creme.
It's
how
like
they put down
it's,
creme.
It's creme being fucked with.
Yeah. Well, who knows? Maybe we'll get to it. But if not,
I don't have the lobes for business.
Ask us if you want us to do it on our Patreon channel, and we'll do a special episode.
Yeah, someone's
going to
pay
for
that.
Yeah, they goddamn right.
Someone's going to pay for that.
Someone's going to pay.
It's the rules of acquisition. We got to learn from this episode.
Why?
But one minor canonical quibble. A little bit of a
do
quibble.
You understand me?
I do. A canonical quibble I have.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Is that the Ferengi ask about gold press latinum. And then Archer mentions, no, I've got gold. And the Ferengi are all super interested in this gold. Now, here's the issue. On Deep Space Nine, I'm already starting to sound like mega nerd.
On Everphone 39.
But in the lore. On Deep Space Nine, they explain that
Deep Space Nine.
The purpose of gold press latinum is that latinum
cannot be
replicated.
Boom.
I like this.
Holograms?
This back and forth we got. So, latinum cannot be replicated.
Bilana's on it.
They suspend it in a lattice of gold, but the gold is considered
gold
essentially
press.
Worthless because gold can be replicated easily in the...
I'm not joking, Lee!
24th century Star Trek universe, right? Okay, so that's...
I don't get it.
Why gold press latinum has value, because it is a non-replicable material. Okay.
I don't get it.
Now... So they don't have an interest in gold in the 24th century. In this century, they seem to want gold, but they also know about gold press latinum. And so the question is are replicators not a thing yet broadly, and so gold still has value?
Right.
But
because they still don't have transporters.
But there's also gold press latinum, or because you kind of got the idea that gold press latinum was sort of invented for the purpose of having
what
a scarce material that can't be replicated.
What were the different denominations? There's slips of latinum,
slips and strips,
and then there's
bars. Slips, strips.
So
and
they
bars.
just say gold. They just say
gold bars,
gold press latinum. They don't say if they're slips, strips, or bars.
They do not. They just
and then Archer says bars, but he doesn't say bars,
well, platinum, it's gold specifically.
Yeah, he doesn't say gold press. The bars, they're all gold.
They're just gold.
They're all the bars. I'm sorry. Slip strips and bars of platinum, they're all gold pressed, right?
Yes, slip
they're all
strips gold. And bars.
And that's what keeps them together. Yeah. Or whatever.
To me, the inconsistency the here is
yeah, no, right,
either,
yeah.
either the Ferengi should not give a shit about gold,
no, that,
or
yeah.
gold pressed platinum shouldn't even be a thing.
Yeah.
So a minor quibble, but it's a quibble nevertheless.
No, it's, and presumably nobody on the Enterprise. Or even T'Pol or anyone has seen a Ferengi before, it seems like.
No, and that gets to the other point of canon, which I don't, I think.
Because Archer seemed to know immediately how to talk their language, like immediately.
Yeah, well, he.
Well, they're like humans.
Well, they're like car salesmen. Yeah. That's the impression, you know, it's the classic, because Picard was kind of like that too. But, so here's the deal. The canon issue is, and Enterprise runs into this a few times, is the same thing with the Borg, right? They have that episode where they meet the Borg. Is it Regeneration, I think?
Oh, shit.
It's a great, I actually really like that episode. But the humans are not supposed to have met the Borg yet. And the same thing is true here, because in...
I don't understand.
In the Star Trek canon, Picard is the one who first meets the Ferengi
yeah.
When he's the captain of the Stargazer. So he made first contact with the Ferengi. Mm. Now, the problem is
that
so much subsequent Star Trek lore...
I assume you have an explanation.
Particularly on Deep Space Nine, but also Lower Decks and other ones, really make it hard to believe that first contact with the Ferengi was with in Picard's era. You really get the vibe that, no, the Ferengi have been around for a while. But, okay, Picard met them first on the Stargazer. So they take pains, and I think fairly elegant pains in this episode, to explain why the humans and the Vulcans have not, subsequent to this episode, met Ferengi.
Right.
One of the things they do is they ask who you, like Archer straight up, like, who are you? And the Ferengi, I think it was Ulis, was like, who we are is unimportant.
Okay. Who we are is unimportant.
Yeah, that's one thing. The other thing is at the end of the episode, Picard, Archer's all threatens them, saying like, if we see you within a light year of any Federation ship,
vermin,
we're going to fuck you up, which is it's a hilarious, again, it's a cartoonish threat. It's like, what are you talking about? This is like a restraining order?
Yeah, right.
What are you talking about?
You'd think
they're not even shit.
I mean, the fucking thing, they like took over their ship. They were going to sell like some of their crew into slavery. They were going to steal all their shit. And all they did at the end was just being like, oh, you too, you better
also,
watch out.
Consider this. This is four kind of chumpy, not totally incompetent,
they fell for the classic ruse.
But my point is that Archer has made a deal not with the Ferengi government, not with the head of the, you know,
that's just what
like
the
some
same
Ferengi
point,
pirates.
But he's just talking to four dudes who, but you're right, fucked him up. And it's like, why would the Ferengi government listen to these four dudes? Oh, they called up somebody back home and said like, oh, by the way, don't ever fuck with these Federation ships because they fucked us up because we're chumps. That's just not, it doesn't, it's not plausible, but it's a cartoon.
I'll call
if you
the
accept
Grand
it as a
Negus.
Cartoon, it's a good ending.
Yeah.
And the Grand Negus is going to be like, oh shit, these morons told me not to like go after these rich people.
I would have thought that there would have been more official actions taken for
yeah,
such a thing.
Of course. Yeah. But again, it's a cartoon. It all hinges on, it's the fulcrum. Remember the cartoon fulcrum? I mentioned this. If you're willing to accept it, then you're like, this ending is fine. It's a comical ending. It's meant to be a comical ending.
Comical.
It's like with the whole stroke my lobes business.
Oh yeah,
which was a little weird and upsetting.
Yeah, that was weird.
With the Umox.
But, I mean, the Umox, they don't say they're sexual, but they do.
I mean, Deep Space Nine made
implied.
They don't explicitly say like, oh, I'm coming. You know, Umox. Like,
I'm coming.
It's very obvious.
There was some shit
because they go like It's very obvious because they go like, you know, like, oh, it feels so good. Oh, it feels, oh,
boogie. Oh, that's inappropriate.
No.
But like, they make it obvious, but it's still an implication. They don't explicitly say it's sexual, but we can gather that it is.
It's an interesting point you make because... you're right, it is still implied, it's still an implication. On the other hand, the mechanism for implication is quite explicit because they're like, oh,
Yeah, I know. Right.
So it's interesting. No, it's an interesting thing.
That's why. What's
it's
why
an explicit implosion.
No, that's what I'm saying. Like, we can gather the information based upon, you know, what they say, but like, not, it's nothing. They never say like, I'm having sex, my sexual organs are releasing or whatever, falling out of my body. My sexual organs are falling out of my body. You know, it must hurt Ferengi to get like their ears pierced. That must hurt like shit.
Yeah. Maybe they don't do it.
No, they do. But Moogie did, didn't she?
Yeah, they do. And I think it's meant to be like kind of hardcore.
Yeah.
Everybody knows you'd steal the wax out of your own mother's ears.
What a gross thing to do.
That's a gross thing to say.
Too. Yeah.
Just forget about doing it. It's a saying.
I know it's.
Because those Mama Jamas have big ears.
I know, like, it could be taken as a major insult because it's like saying, like, you're so, like, eager for stuff that you'll even steal, like, worthless garbage.
What
and
is Ferengi earwax
I'm not done with my sentence, please.
I'm sorry.
It's okay. Sorry. We'll approach that. We'll approach that in a second.
Sure.
Dan has all sorts of thoughts on that.
I was saying.
The consistency of Ferengi earwax.
I was saying earwax is worth so little that they're so eager to take shit and so desperate to take shit, they take something worthless and they put their mother through discomfort just to take this worthless thing. So it's a very effective insult, but totally. It's really gross. Yeah.
You know, you've suggested.
What did you ask, Jesse? How much is earwax worth?
Well, what is their earwax like? Because they have big old ears.
You think it's like slimy black like cat infected cat ears?
They live on a gross planet.
Like infected cat ears all like black and slimy.
Gross. Well, you're going back to what
black
you
and slimy like really old cabbage.
If you live in space a whole bunch, maybe your earwax is different.
Maybe it's like drier. Like an old head of romaine, like slimy and black and
romaine.
You know, it's all.
Dan's like, reminder, I've got to clean my fridge when I get home. No, but you made me think about like
you should
the
grow
idea
lettuce in your garden.
Of studying Zeno aphorisms. There should be a whole Zeno aphorism where you can interpret and understand aphorisms that come from off-world.
Yeah, man.
That would be cool.
It would be cool.
Yeah. That'd be fun.
We'll give you credit, Dan, for inventing
and
this.
And then you can conquer the universe.
I accept your offer.
All right. Getting close to the end of this episode here.
T'Pol goes, there are times I wish Vulcans hadn't learned to repress their violent tendencies.
Yeah, she was making a joke.
You think she was making a joke?
Of course.
Yeah.
No.
It's a hilarious joke.
No, because
T'Pol is joking around all the
T'Pol
time.
T'Pol is fucking hilarious. Spock and T'Pol is and fucking Tuvok. They're
because
a laugh riot.
Because Trip Tucker's like, flip. He goes, he's like, are you okay? And she's like, there are times that I wish Vulcans hadn't learned to repress their violent tendencies.
Yeah, she's saying, I would like to kick this guy's ass.
I know she's saying that, but what I'm saying is, like, if you want to kick someone's ass, then kick their ass. If you had successfully repressed your violent tendencies, you wouldn't have those feelings to begin with. So you're saying, though, you guys are saying she's joking.
Yeah, no, she's obviously
she's not
joking.
Fucking joking.
She's fucking hilarious. She's a regular old Joe Piscopo. No, seriously, seriously, I interpret that as a joke.
Totally, dude.
T'Pol is...
Ferengi don't make jokes like that. I mean, not Ferengi, sorry. Vulcans don't make jokes
Vulcans
like
make
that.
Vulcans make jokes all
the
time.
Exactly.
I tell you, I don't know.
Look,
that's what Star Trek is, dude.
Dan, I know that on this podcast we're big about not being gatekeepers. We are very anti-gatekeeper, but I do think you are watching Star Trek wrong.
Oh, no.
That's not good enough. That doesn't seem fair.
Okay.
No.
No.
I wanted to ask you guys about...
No, thanks.
Shut up! Shut up! Shut up!
About the... About about what was my both my favorite and most sort of I was most perplexing line of the whole episode, which was, since this was at least in parts sort of Die Hard, sort of Trip Die Harding, Trip and Little Trip
Die Harding,
sort of 80s action movie sort of thing, right? Okay, I said sort of a lot there. I apologize.
It's okay. Mm-hmm.
You all right, Captain?
I don't know if you have this line in your bank of sounds. Oh,
is it from Trip Tucker?
It's Trip Tucker's 80s action movie stinger end line where he says, "Sorry, fellas, Bank must be closed today.
No, I don't even remember that line.
It made no sense. No. It was like after they captured the Ferengi, right? They captured it. They're closing up shop. They're forcing the Ferengi to like unload their ship. And like Trip Tucker's all like, sorry, fellas, bank must be closed today.
Oh, right.
I was like, there's no bank. What are you talking about? They just wanted to have an Arnold Schwarzenegger style, like, I'll be back, you know, chill out, you know, that type of line where you just sort of like
get to the chopper.
Pin the line on the movie. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, that's the game that all the kids play in their birthdays.
But interestingly, the conclusion of the movie.
I don't have that line, but I have Ulysses, which is the line before.
It's a trap!
But yeah, Grish actually
fellas.
Yeah, because Grish goes, my gold, back to like the whole gold thing. Yeah, and then Ulysses goes, it's a trap. And T'Pol like shoots them and he goes, sorry, fellas, bank must be closed. Yeah, that doesn't really.
Bank must be closed.
Well, why is closed? Because there's a person that shoots you, that means the bank's closed. Yeah. It's like, oh, they shot you, the bank's closed. It's like, too bad.
It's like you think of other things where it's like the end line where it's like, the doctor is in. Or, you know.
Remember like that. Batman and Robin, like how ridiculous it was? It's like,
that's where he's like, chill out. Well, I just said that.
I said it the same time you did.
No. Jesse, back me up. I said it like 2 minutes ago.
No,
I was like,
you
chill
didn't.
Out. Yes, I was. Did see Jesse?
Yeah.
It's a trap.
I said, chill out.
Yeah.
I don't know about that.
You do not respect me.
He could try to teach you out of your share.
All right.
I don't respect you. I respect D.
Oh, no. All right. Well, we all know what that means.
These thoughts of Patrick Ireland. I don't want to dox you by giving out your last name.
Oh, everyone knows my last name.
Oh, wait. Did you notice there was a cook joke? Krem goes, maybe we should take your cook with us. There was a cook joke.
Enterprise cook joke.
Enterprise cook joke.
You never see the cook.
Nope.
Until we learn that it's actually Commander William Ryder.
Yeah. Right. Just fucking. What the fuck? There was
Megan Pizzas.
There was two opposing that's and orders I wanted to.
Oh, yes, that's and orders, and then that will conclude our business.
So here's one. Mook says, Grish, help me with the women. Trip Tucker says, wait, I'll show you the vault. And then Archer goes, Trip. And Tucker goes, leave the women here, and I'll let you have the gold. And then Archer goes, not another word, Commander. That's an order. That's okay, because it was a ruse.
Yes. Anything when it's a ruse, it's okay.
It's okay. Now, here's another one. The other one. T'Pol goes, not that interesting. No sense of humor. Always complaining. That's when, like, she's like, you know, what Patrick and Jesse says, she's joking with them, and I think she's
very
serious.
Obviously joking around with her.
Vulcans don't joke, or they don't joke like
this. They have such good chemistry together.
Now I think you're just making shit up.
Nope.
Marcher says, I'll make it. She goes, not that interesting, no sense of humor, always complaining. Archer goes, I'll make it up to you. And then she goes, how? And Archer goes, 5 bars of gold?
Yeah, that was funny.
And then he goes, open these things, sub-commander. That's an order.
Yeah.
He wasn't joking there when he said that because she wasn't opening. Yeah. He didn't. That was not okay. See, the first one was okay. This one was not because he didn't even give her enough time to open the thing. And he didn't even ask directly. He didn't even directly ask her to get him out. Or he asked her for the key, but he could have just said, come on, hurry up, open it up.
I like how.
Like, he could have been like, hurry up, come on, you're taking too long. But he's like, that's an order. It's like he didn't give her enough time.
I like how the show ends with this really cute, charming interaction. Clearly playful.
I'm the captain.
Interaction that relying on the brilliant chemistry between these two actors and these two characters. And Dan interprets it as like a downer of an ending where the commander, where the captain's pissed off at T'Pol because she's trapping him longer.
Yeah, I don't think anyway. That's a joke either.
Well, I know, look, unfortunately,
sabotage.
Funny, man.
We've run out of time.
Sabotage. Chief O'Brien?
Where would I stay?
Sorry, but the bank must be closed.
Milana's on it.
I can't believe I didn't get that line.
So that was a fun discussion.
It's an old water polo injury.
I think a fun
flares
episode.
Up every now and then.
I didn't get a water polo injury.
Oh, I forgot about injury. The water polo joke, which is it's always great when.
And now, was it really a joke, or is it just like a joke because water polo is a funny thing for
it
a
is
captain
funny.
Of Archer? Captain Archer. Captain Archer. Archer of the Enterprise.
I'm Captain of Archer. Okay.
That's what he does.
Okay, so that was acquisition. Totally. Next week, we haven't decided. We kind of forgot about that, so...
think about it.
Check our social media.
Oh, shit, I totally forgot to fucking...
Yeah, no worries.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know what
I'm
we're
having so,
for.
I'm having such a difficult time getting used to this new method where we, like, figure out the next week's episode, from the previous week and not this week. So I have to have it before we would announce it Monday on the socials, but now I have to have it ready by this episode, which means I have to...
Do run it the previous
I have
week's
to ingest, I have to ingest the episode podcast from the previous week into my algorithm.
Yeah. Well, plus we haven't been using the algorithm or the bit.
No deal.
We've been picking episodes, hand-picking episodes, as they say.
Let's
but,
do a Deep Space Nine.
Not nose-picking episodes?
Yeah. Well, we'll figure out what we're doing.
Hey, you can pick your friends, and you can pick your nose.
You can pick your friend's nose.
But you can't pick your friend's nose.
You may pick your friend's nose as long as there's consent.
You can pick your seats.
I'd rather
if
have
there's consent, you can pick your friend's nose.
I'd rather have a bottle in front of me than a frontal lobotomy.
Well, yes. Absolutely, because a frontal lobotomy is really an awful thing. Did you see what they did to the Kennedy girl?
Yeah.
Don't look it up, folks. It's
no.
It's really upsetting.
I'm going to tell you something that... Oh, don't look it up. I'm going to make it sound really enticing, but don't look it up.
I mean, you're going to be sad. If you look up frontal lobotomies, you're going to be really upset.
Oh, they're here.
Kennedys are sad.
Here's a sound a bit from when Trip and Archer were like fake fighting, you know? It's just kind of sounds, the noises they make are funny. They're going like, bleh, 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 bleh. Listen to this.
I actually wondered, watching the episode, I wondered if you were going to record that because I cottoned onto the fact
you're
that
it was
so you're starting to catch on. You guys are starting to catch on to the more subtle, subtle like background
starting
things.
To. All right,
like there was a background. I think there was a background Ferengi noise too. Right. Actually,
you look up background Ferengi noise.
Oh, it was this one. This one didn't turn out very interesting.
All right, well, I'm glad you played it.
Yeah. It's good to end on the weaker one.
Yeah, it's always good to end on the least interesting things.
How delightful.
Okay, so to find out what we'll be discussing next week, check us out on social media at It's Got Star Trek.
What?
That means Blue Sky, Threads, Facebook, all that stuff.
What?
You can find us on all the podcasting places like Apple Podcasts and Spotify.
Apple Podcasts.
All the apps. You can find us. Tell your friends. Write a review.
Who are they?
Write a
who
review.
Are you?
And Dan
who the hell
will,
are you?
Dan will produce a haiku.
Who the hell
get
are
a haiku
you?
For a review. If you want a bespoke custom haiku.
Who do you think you
write
are?
Write a review. If you'd like to check out our Patreon and hear some other fun, goofy stuff for a very low rate, including some free content. Up there,
hundreds of them.
Go to patreon.com/itsgotstartrek. And by the way. By the way, if you look on our feed, the previous entry in the feed is one we let something out of our from behind the paywall, one of our Patreon episodes. It's a short one, but it's a fun one. Go look on the feed. You'll enjoy it. And what else is there? Oh, yeah. The website, www.itsgotstartrek.com. And yeah, feedback at itsgotstartrek.com.
Ooh, do you think you could bring me some food while you're at it?
I think that's all the bits.
That's
enjoy your
Archer,
enjoy your sack pie.
Sack pie. Pie bag gag. The pie bag gag.
The pie bag gag.
Patch see, Archer was bag. All ordering crumb around when he was the one. He was the one being captive. He was the captive, and he was ordering his captor around.
Yeah.
And
captive captain.
Yeah, and the crumb didn't tell Archer to do stuff. He was like, "Do you mind if you do this for me?" So that's see,
crumb was a pushover.
He was a total pushover.
Yeah. All right, and well, by the way, let us know on social media if you want us to do a special Patreon episode, which is just Dan reading a list of
how
the
about
ways
this?
The 10 crumb was.
If I do this, I'll make it. We should make it free.
All right.
We shouldn't like. Be like, you gotta pay it. All right,
we'll
make it free.
Who's gonna pay for
it?
Cram.
Yeah, who's gonna pay for this?
We'll put it on the live feed.
Cram. Cram. Cram.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
It was a pleasure doing business with you.
You'll never see us again.
Sorry, fellas. Bank must be closed today.